Learning a lot about different types of sciences has helped me a lot. Like I said, my background was in physics and astronomy, and now I'm teaching about penguins and the life cycle of a butterfly and just kind of broadening your knowledge of different sciences is definitely helpful. Or if you happen to be in a different type of field, I know there's art museums and there's history museums that do this as well. Kind of get a broad sense of your discipline is definitely number one. The second thing is being really comfortable about talking to somebody who might not actually respond.
Jackie Benitez is an education specialist for the California Academy of Sciences Distance Learning Program. Her mission is to guarantee that every K-8 grade student has the opportunity to explore and explain their world no matter where they are.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au.
And now,
here's your host, Ben Newsome.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed podcast. Hey, big week this week. We're speaking with a friend of ours, Jacqueline Benitez, from the California Academy of Sciences, a distance learning specialist who very much teaches not just kids in California, we're talking kids all over North America and beyond. And it's not just in schools. We're talking juvenile justice centers, hospitals, you name it. If there's an audience you connect with, she certainly does it. So let's listen on into what Jackie's been doing, and maybe you might be able to think, how can you connect your students as well?
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
So I'm actually coming from the California Academy of Sciences, which is in San Francisco, California. We're actually in Golden Gate Park, so I get a beautiful view of nature all around me all day, which is absolutely wonderful. And we are a science museum that has a living rainforest, a planetarium, and an aquarium all under one living roof. So we get to explore the natural world around us a lot, and that gives us a great opportunity to be able to fly off into outer space and look at what's going on out there and stay here at home and explore not only what's living on the actual land, but also what's living in the seas. And so it's really cool to be exploring all these different things. In fact, our mission here at the Academy is to explore, explain, and sustain life on Earth. And one of the ways we do this is actually through our distance learning program, which is really fun.
Wow. So you're really describing a terrible place to work that's austere and filled with concrete, and you'd never want to be there ever again.
Nope. Never, ever, ever. It's absolutely wonderful. I get to have a place where we get to go down into the aquarium and I can see cuttlefish and a huge, large coral reef tank, and then in the next minute I can walk up into our living rainforest where I feel like I'm actually in a rainforest, which is absolutely wonderful and hot at the same time. So on those cold San Francisco days, I get to warm up there.
That sounds gorgeous. What an awesome place to go to. I mean, I must say I've been to San Francisco before, but I never popped in. I kind of feel bad now.
Yeah, you definitely should come the next time you're in the city. But if you actually don't have the opportunity to come to the California Academy of Sciences, we have a wonderful distance learning program where we can actually bring the academy to you, including some of these animals that live here.
Now, Jackie, that's very much your remit. That's exactly what you get up to. And I know that you've been doing this for many years. What got you into that sort of thing?
Yeah, so for me, I actually, my background is in physics and astronomy. So I started learning a lot about the stars, our universe, and then I kind of was starting to wonder about all the different other parts of the academy. And at the same time, the academy started this new program, what we call distance learning, where they wanted to reach students that actually couldn't physically come to the academy, whether it was because of transportation, it was just too expensive, or it was too far, or that for some reason their classroom just couldn't take field trips. And so they wanted to have this idea of being able to virtually bring the academy to them. And so that's when we started our distance learning program in 2013. And we were able to actually figure out, okay, this new technology of just video conferencing was getting easier and easier. What if we did that? What if we brought the academy into the classroom via like a Skype interview? And that's where it all kind of started and brainstormed from there. And we started off with a couple of different pilot programs where we're trying to figure out what do teachers want to learn about here at the academy. Was it our animals? Was it our scientists? In fact, we do have over 300 different scientists working here in all different types of sciences. And from there, we kind of were able to branch out and figure out, okay, our penguins are very popular, and we get a chance to use our live web cameras to look into those penguins exhibit and see what they're doing right now and then. And then also we realized that, you know, just being in front of a scientist, being able to talk to a scientist is a big reward as well. So we try to create programs where not only do we highlight a science career, but we also ask the students to become scientists themselves and actually be able to do the scientist skills that our scientists here actually do every day.
That's awesome. And like by the sound of it, like your program really has grown and grown and grown. Just how many, how many are you actually offering here? Because it sounds like a bunch.
So it's kind of interesting. We have kind of two different flavors of programs that we offer throughout the school year. One is what we call kind of this one-on-one virtual program. And that's when it's kind of an intimate program where an academy educator will be able to kind of like Skype into your classroom and talk directly to your students. We get to both be on video camera, we both have microphones, we get to have a conversation back and forth, which is really fun to have. And then there's like this other flavor, what we call broadcast style program, or sometimes you hear them as live streaming. And this is when an academy educator is on screen and is broadcasting to many different schools all at the same time. And everybody gets to use a chat box to let us know what they're thinking. And it's really cool to be able to have actually other classes talking to other classes around the country at the exact same time and learning all different types of sciences. And so for those programs, we usually have those about 12 to 15 times a year. Depending on the time of year, it'll be maybe a Halloween program where we're looking at spooktacular skulls, or it might be like this month where we have a weather and climate program where we're going to be looking at weather patterns and climate patterns and being able to be climatologists and meteorologists and have the opportunity to predict weather patterns, which will be really fun.
That's incredibly diverse. In fact, I kind of always wonder when I speak with someone who does so many things like this, if you like had to, I don't know, just say this, the interview ends and you got a class on and you got to choose whatever class you wanted to do, like with your most favorite experiment and all that sort of thing. What's been the sort of interactions with students that totally worked, the best experiments where you go, you know what, the kids just light up every single time you do it?
I would have to say there's kind of two that pop out the most. One is actually looking at live animals and the interactions they have with the world around them is something really big. So like our kindergarten program where we look at African penguins that we have here at the academy, we look into our exhibit and I ask them to take a look at what are some of the things you notice about how they move, how they're using their body parts to help them either eat or swim. That's really engaging. Also, to be able to have them act like penguins, which is a lot of fun. Not only are they having fun, they're getting their wiggles out, but they're also mimicking those animals and being able to kind of really see how they those animals use their body parts to be able to waddle around our exhibit. So kind of just looking really closely at animals and their different body parts is one. And then the other one is what we try to do with our older students is always have kind of this hands-on activity. So for example, of course, I have an astronomy background. I love our impacts in the solar system program where we actually do a scale model activity where you have maps where we see either Golden Gate Park and can recognize some actual city blocks and houses. And we put those asteroids that we've been talking about and place them on the maps and actually get to see how big these objects really are. And being able to kind of show that scale model is a lot of fun as well.
Absolutely. In fact, there's this experiment which would go with that, and I love doing with students, which is getting a big tray of like flour and then sprinkling really finely ground coffee powder all over it. Though over here I'd try and use Milo because hey, I like the chocolate. But you've got all over it, and you get the kids to drop different sized rocks onto it. And it's amazing how similar those impact craters can look to the real thing.
Yeah, definitely. And being able to see also with some of our planetarium software, we've been able to kind of map out their orbits and see what is the likelihood of them actually being able to hit each other or leave debris in their paths. And is it likely that they're going to be impacted because of that? Just asking those questions and looking at actual data is a lot of fun as well.
Well, actually, that just sort of gets me. I mean, obviously, at the California Academy of Sciences, you're going to do science. But I must say, thinking about trajectories, do you get many classes who are studying mathematics and go, you know what, we actually want to sort of have your program fit our mathematics outcomes? Because I can imagine that if you're talking data and that sort of thing, there's a lot that teachers and students could do.
Yeah, there definitely is. I actually haven't personally had any math classes come to us, but I have had some English classes come to us before where actually a class down in Mexico, they had their English class and they wanted to combine their English class with science as well. And so we did a program about our penguins and they were able to practice their English at the same time as learning some science. We've also had the opportunity where we have one of our most famous penguins, Pierre the Penguin, has a book actually
really
about him. Yeah. And so we've combined a reading lesson with science as well and have that program. So it's called Science Storytime here at the Academy.
Now that's really, really cool because I know that like we've done connections to South Korean students. They're in high school and I am amazed just how well they do it considering, imagine trying doing science in another language, like especially at the time they chose a human body program. So there's a lot of Latin in that.
Oh my gosh. That's even a whole nother level there.
Yeah, I know. I was going, oh my gosh. And these students are just smashing it. It was so cool to see. And I love the fact that you're meshing in obviously stuff around your own programs. I mean, the penguins, especially around a book that you've written. I mean, that's really cool and has outcomes that go far beyond just the distance learning class itself.
Yeah, definitely. And then also the great opportunity here at the Academy of Sciences is we actually have bilingual educators. We have one educator that does speak Spanish, and we also have another educator that speaks Mandarin and Cantonese. And so we can actually offer these programs as well, not only in English, but in those other languages on top of having this wonderful variety. So if you happen to have a class that is an immersion class or is a bilingual class, we can also bring our classes there depending on their schedule.
Yeah, that's really cool. And in fact, I know there's a few museums and places, and we had to do it once as well, where we've run some programs for school for the deaf. And so you'll have a signer going along. And it's just brilliant. I mean, the ability to have this extra narrative going on underneath is, yeah, unreal. I mean, love it, love it, love it. So, I mean, what obviously you've got a lot of programs and you've grown out of, at this 2013, I believe, into this big thing. I mean, where do you think the future's heading for your distance learning programs?
So right now we're, even though it seems like we've been here for a long time, we're still trying to grow as a program, make sure that people know about us and that we do provide this program. But I think also just kind of experimenting in different ways of how do we use distance learning, not only as just a one-off program where we come into your classroom, we are able to give you a lesson, and then we're out of there. What is something that we can do that kind of can go maybe do two programs with us where we talk about like our weather program this month, we're testing out, we're talking for one day about weather and weather patterns. And then we want to build on that. And then, okay, now that we know about weather, how does climate and looking at climate differ from actual weather predictions? And how do we use weather to make a prediction of what our climate's going to be in the future? So kind of that idea of creating these kind of building blocks. So that way, you know, you don't have to just see me once in the year and then our interaction is done. Maybe there's a project we can do together and have multiple classes working on one project or one kind of science engineering activity to help create something. And then we can have multiple classrooms come in. There's a lot of different ways that distance learning can actually bring different classrooms together and also kind of build ideas on top of each other, which I'm really excited to explore.
Absolutely. And having students teach students about what they've been doing is just awesome. And let's be honest, as a student, I was more interested in what other students had to say in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
No, it's really cool. And actually, just out of interest, and I often find that people who do a lot of distance learning, they often have, there's often a story somewhere where something's just not quite gone quite right. just out of interest, I mean, have you ever, I mean, I'm guessing, I'm just throwing it out there, but have you ever had a situation where it's just, you know, describe to me, not so much the lesson, but other things that affected the lesson, so to speak?
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot of things. I mean, one is always your internet bandwidth. That's always something that you're going to have to struggle with, no matter where you are. And there's been times where all of a sudden here at the academy, our bandwidth went out for some reason. I never got the correct answer on that from our IT person, but it does happen. And so there's always usually a contingency policy where I ask students to kind of always look at something to be able to make some more observations if I happen to have to leave. There's definitely been fire alarms that have gone off in the middle of a program and all of a sudden they have to leave. Sure. And so that's always fun. There's also been where a student has actually lost their tooth in the middle of our program.
Lost their tooth? I've had someone throw up and not lose a tooth.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. Luckily, there wasn't a lot of blood, and the teacher just escorted that student out of the room, dealt with it. And I was there by myself with all the students. And you just have to kind of continue on and luckily, this was a really good class, and I was able to kind of pick out students to share out, where normally I would rely on the teacher to choose students to share out, and it worked out really well.
It's amazing what happens. I mean, I was speaking with Karen from the Australian Museum, who does a lot of this as well, and she recounts this day when she had a series of events all through the day for this particular program she was running. And one by one by one by one, the schools dropped out. And what was actually happening, it was this massive thunderstorm just rolling down the coast of Australia. And it was taking them all out one by one. And you could plot them out. That's what actually
happened. That is interesting. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's happened. I know that people, I mean, I've had certainly fire alarms and bits and pieces. I once had a loose bat. So a bat had got into the classroom during the session, and I go, wow, this is pretty impressive. It was moving fast enough, there was pixelating on the camera, so I couldn't quite see what was going on. But that was kind of cool. And it does happen. I mean, obviously, in the States, you have snow days. We don't have that so much anymore as well. But, you know, you got to allow for anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny, being here in California, and I'm actually a California girl. I've never lived anywhere else. When schools call me up on the East Coast or even the Midwest sometimes, and they're like, yeah, so we don't have a program today. It's a snow day. I'm like, oh, right, those things.
Yeah.
It doesn't even register with me sometimes.
Yeah, I think I've had like a dusting of snow on top of me, but never really stayed on the ground. That's the most cold I've ever dealt with. We do heat down here. That's what we do. Obviously you do a lot of stuff to schools, but it's not the only user group that is around. I mean, what other places have you connected with?
No, there's definitely a lot of other places that we have. We've done after-school programs with schools in the East Coast and the Midwest. We've also done summer programs as well, where we've had summer camps join us for programs like that. We've also actually had a juvenile detention area that has joined us for a program, and that was really interesting. It was definitely challenging on my part because we couldn't have the video camera on them. So I was hearing them, but I wasn't seeing them. But they were really engaged. They loved to see the live animals, and they were able to make some great observations and great predictions specifically for that program. We have them actually carry out an investigation. And so they were able to create a whole investigation and create some really great questions to think about that I actually had never heard of or thought of myself.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I mean, we've done a couple of ones, especially to juvenile justice centers, and it's really heartening to see people highly engaged considering their environment, because they didn't have to be engaged. They could have just sat there and done nothing. And it's great, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And then we've also done homeschool groups as well on top of that. And so we've done homeschool groups here in California, also up in Alaska, especially the rural areas where they don't have a lot of either availability to learn beyond what is around them, which, I mean, they get a whole different type of environmental science than we do here in California. They get to see a lot more wildlife than we do, but still it's an opportunity to bring the tropics or a coral reef to them.
Yeah, that's so cool. Hey, I'm always curious about advice for people, like in terms of if someone wanted to do what you do, how would they go about getting into that?
Oh, that's a great question. I think just kind of learning a lot about different types of sciences has helped me a lot. Like I said, my background was in physics and astronomy, and now I'm teaching about penguins and the life cycle of a butterfly, and just kind of broadening your knowledge of different sciences is definitely helpful. Or if you happen to be in a different type of field, I know there's art museums and there's history museums that do this as well. Kind of get a broad sense of your discipline is definitely number one. The second thing is being really comfortable about talking to somebody who might not actually respond.
Yeah, I believe like as educators, and there'll be so many people listening to this in the car or whatever going, yep, I could talk underwater. it's part of the job. In fact, I actually know there are a couple of conference providers who do exactly that. They do actually talk underwater in their aquariums, which is very, very cool. We're connected with Craig McGrogan a couple of episodes ago from Reef HQ, and that's exactly what he does in the full dive tank in Townsville. It's very, very cool.
Wonderful.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Now obviously there's going to be some people who would love to get in touch with you and find out about the programs that you're offering and all that type of thing. How do they do that?
Yeah, so you can go on our website. It's calacademy.org, and if you look up distance learning, you can find all of our programs that we're offering that are virtual programs, that one-on-one interaction. We're also list through the rest of the school year all our broadcast style programs, whether it's our penguin program celebrating Earth Day in April, as well as having our science story time later on this year. Or if you want to just reach out to me personally, you can email me at distancelearning@calacademy.org, and you can go ahead and shoot me an email there. Also, if you're just curious on what does distance learning look like, what does this kind of Skype interview kind of look like? We don't actually use Skype itself. I just like using that as a reference because everybody seems to know it. We use a platform called Zoom, which I absolutely love. And I'm happy to do any tests with anybody who is a little nervous at first. I'm happy to walk through what does it take to actually set up a program like this.
Absolutely. And what we'll do, we'll put that all in the show notes as well, so you can go refer to that. And absolutely. Hey, just out of interest, are you popping up to Chicago for ISTE, for the International Society for Technology and Education Conference?
I will be at ISTE. I'll be presenting a poster on Monday, as well as I'll be kind of hopping around in different places. And I will be in part of the IVC video conference area as well.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to head up there with Holly as well. And I believe that we're going to have to go find ourselves some deep dish pizza because we're off to Chicago for this.
Oh, definitely. And I'm looking forward to a White Sox game as well. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Geez, there's going to be a packed time.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fun. Well, thank you very much, Jack, for popping on. I know it's towards the end of your day. You may want to run away, but hey, thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks. And have a great morning to you.
I will. Thank you so much.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Grab a copy of our new book, Be Amazing, How to Teach Science the Way Primary Kids Love, from our website. Just search Be Amazing Book. It's available in hard copy and ebook. Go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.
Yes, you can definitely tell that Jackie Benitez is highly motivated and very, very skilled about what she does when it comes to the distance learning programs at the California Academy of Sciences. By the way, she joined in 2012, and since then, the team at the California Academy of Sciences have tripled their digital outreach. They've co-designed many, many programs with other collaborators. You can definitely hear it's very, very cool. And if you're wondering about what it's like to be involved in distance learning, perhaps you might want to check out what Jen Zanetis has been getting up to at the Center for Interactive Learning and Collaboration.
We have about 200 content providers, mainly in the US, but also in Canada, Australia, the Middle East, and Africa, that do these programs with students. And the programs are geared toward what the teacher is teaching.
We hope you've been enjoying the Physics Ed Podcast. We love making science make sense. Why don't you book us for a science show or workshop in your school? If you're outside of Australia, you can connect with us via a virtual excursion. See our website for more.
Yes, the Centre for Interactive Learning and Collaboration is kind of like your one-stop shop for distance learning specialists. We're not just talking about science. We're talking about art, music, history, languages, you name it, they've got it. And it's not just for schools. It's for retirement homes, juvenile justice centres, any place where you've got an audience where you want to connect with others, this is the place to go and check out. And it's not just museums, zoos and aquariums and things. It's also for connecting schools to other schools too. Well worth your time. Check out CILC.org. And by the way, you can check out the California Academy of Sciences doing collaborative projects with other museums across North America and across the world through the Pinnacle Education Collaborative, the PEC, found on the CILC. Now that is a little bit confusing, but it's still worth your time. Go check out CILC.org. So after you check out the CILC, it's well worth jumping back on the Phys Ed Podcast because we've still got more to come. You've been listening to me, Ben News from Phys Education, and you've been listening to the Phys Ed Podcast. I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.
This podcast is part of the Australian Educators Online Network. AEON.net.au.